From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Sisters and brothers, what shall we do? We shall praise God who hears our prayers, who draws near to us and brings new life out of death. Sisters and brothers, how shall we live? With the confidence of God's beloved children, with the security and joy of God's saving grace. Sisters and brothers, what is the promise? New life, forgiveness of sins, the Spirit as gifts. Sisters and brothers, how shall we praise? We lift our voices and our hearts in love, thanks, and praise. We will praise the Lord as long as we live. Will you be in a spirit of prayer? Loving God, we welcome your living presence in our midst. Share our joy and our thanks for the life you give us. Sing with us, dance among us, pray with us, and shower us with your love as we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our children's time this morning is led by Brian Wolford.
Good morning, everybody. Someone help me pass these out. Everybody grab one. Give half of them up here, and once everybody has one, let me know. All right, let me see some of them up here. This is pretty neat. It's a little, I don't know if you've all ever done those magic eye things before, but that's kind of what this is. On your picture there, you can see in the middle of the picture there are four black dots. Does everybody see those four black dots?
And two hearts.
Yeah, but we're just looking at the dots, okay? Very observant children. All right, I want you guys to take the picture and hold it up to your face and just look at those four black dots. Keep your eyes open, focus on those dots, and I'm going to count to 15, okay? And after I say 15, close your eyes really slowly. You all ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 13, 14, 15. Okay, slowly close your eyes. Close your eyes. Close them tight. And let me know if you see an image. Yeah, what'd you see, Hunter? You did, didn't you? How cool is that? You guys, and even if you didn't get to see it the first time, I'll let you keep these papers and try it when you get back to your seats. But isn't that neat? Look at this picture. It doesn't look like Jesus at all. But if when you close your eyes, you see Jesus. Awesome. We'll keep practicing. That's kind of ties into our Bible lesson today that we learn about two of Jesus's followers, his friends. They're walking on a road and then suddenly this guy appears and they're talking about how sad they are because Jesus died. And this guy is actually Jesus, but they don't recognize him at the time, which is kind of strange that they wouldn't recognize their teacher and their best friend. But they're talking about how sad they are. And this guy says, well, why are you guys worried? Didn't the prophets say and the scriptures say that the Christ would have to die and then he'd rise again from the dead? And it wasn't until they got to the town when they were sitting down to eat supper and that man who was Jesus started breaking the bread and giving the blessing, and then the Lord made their eyes see who it really was and they realized it was Jesus. Kind of like in your eye image here, you can't tell it's Jesus from the start, but whenever you do the thing to look, you see the face of Jesus. And they were so happy to have seen Jesus that they ran back to Jerusalem to tell all of their friends that he was really risen and they had seen him. The Bible tells us if we want to see Jesus, that we'll find him if we look for him with all of our heart and all of our soul. He may not appear to us, me and all of you guys, in the same way that he did to those people on the road. But if you study God's word and if you seek him with all your heart, Jesus will reveal himself to all of us. Will you guys join me in a prayer? Dear Lord, open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our anthem this morning, African Alleluia, is by the senior choir directed by Stacy Frederick. Epistle lesson is read by Mary Berger, followed by the gospel lesson from Luke and a sermon entitled Still Burning Presence by Reverend Jody Furness Wright.
Our epistle lesson for this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. You obeyed the truth, and your souls were made pure. Now you sincerely love each other, but you must keep on loving with all your heart. Do this because God has given you new birth by his message that lives on forever. From Luke 24. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place here in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scripture to us?" That very same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." And then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is God's good news. Thanks be to God. Won't you be seated? I don't know about you, but I have been burned by the word burn. Burned down, burnt out, consumed by flames of a burning passion. Burn in hell, heartburn. Feel the burn, down, down, down in a burning ring of fire. I have nothing positive to say about the word burn, except there were these two followers of Jesus who came running to tell the other disciples what had happened to them on the road to Emmaus and how their hearts burned within them. They were walking along, dejected and confused, when they run into a stranger who doesn't seem to know anything about what has happened in Jerusalem in the past week. How Jesus of Nazareth, the one they hoped was the Messiah because he had been so powerful in what he said and the helping acts he had accomplished, greater even than the prophets of old, but had been put to death by the authorities. And then how just that morning some women had gone to Jesus' tomb, found it empty, and had a vision of godly messengers telling them Jesus was alive. And when the men, who men will do, went to check it out, they found that the tomb was indeed empty. Then this stranger, instead of being shocked or even surprised, says, "Well, duh, of course, because." And he proceeds to tell them how this is what the scriptures said needed to happen. And even though they didn't recognize the stranger as the risen Christ until he breaks bread with them later, he sets their hearts on fire, burning inside them. Like the fire of God's presence that Moses encounters in the burning bush, this is not a consuming or destructive fire. Exactly the opposite. This is not a flame that destroys. This is a fire that seems to feed itself and those it is burning within, and a fire that grows with the telling. Sounds a little like that report from John Wesley 1,700 years later, who was listening to Luther's preface to the book of Romans, when while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ Jesus, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." And now, almost 300 years after that event, many have felt and many still long to feel that holy fire. We ask each other, what road can we get on? What sermon can we listen to? What book can we read? What hymn can we sing? What Jesus example can we follow to find ourselves in the still burning presence of God? Well, what were these two disciples doing? They were simply walking and talking together about their experience of their trust and their hope in Jesus. What are these two disciples doing? They are simply letting a stranger into their conversation and sharing their story with him, even their doubts and their disappointments. They are listening to a stranger's story and are open to a change of heart. And then they are offering the hospitality of an open table. And when they do those things, their hearts burn and they recognize their companion. This, my friends, is why we need to walk in covenant with one another. This is why we need to share our faith stories with one another. This is why we need to let strangers join into our conversation. And this is why we need to share our experiences with the world, even our doubts and our disappointments. And this is why we need to stay open to the kind of change of heart that God's presence brings. This is why we need to offer hospitality to those we don't even know. The unknowns. Who are the unknowns? Last week on Facebook, yes, I do go on Facebook frequently, and one of the young mothers I have friended was outraged when her daughter came home from school repeating a story that the teacher had read about an ugly princess who had been sent away to take care of a baby and keep house. And then when she came back, she was beautiful, and the prince fell in love with her, and they got married and lived happy ever after. Well, my friend was outraged, and I have to admit, I was outraged too, about girls being told stories where their only worth is their beauty, their house, their husband, and their babies. Come on, this is 2017. But I was even angrier about something else. That was because this little girl had heard a version that totally trashed, or burned, if you will, one of my favorite childhood fables. Now, the story that I knew, and I knew it as the Plain Princess, was about a spoiled little girl who was unfortunately plain to look upon because her nose turned up where it should have turned down, and her mouth turned down where it should have turned up, and her eyes, while quite well-shaped, had no sparkle. And so her father, the king, sends her to a humble cottage to live with a woman and her five daughters, Annabelle, Florabelle, Dulcibelle, and Christabelle, and Echo. I remember that, four bells and an echo, because I really liked that part when I was a kid. So that this woman can work her magic on the princess. Now, the princess, though a stranger, is included in the family as though she were one of them, included in their conversations, included in their playing together, and included in their work together. And after some initial grumbling and bragging about what she had at the castle, and not a few tears. The spoiled princess begins to admire and emulate the other girl's skills. And when she does, magically, her nose changes because she has stopped looking down her nose at other people. Then after she learns some of these skills, she decides one morning she's going to surprise them with breakfast. And even though her muffins are not quite done and a little lumpy, her new sisters show such delight in what she has done that magically her mouth changes because she has found the joy of doing for others. And then finally, when she gives up her prized possession, because it is the only thing she has to give little Echo for a birthday present, her eyes begin to sparkle with the light of one who has discovered the heartwarming magic of what it is to put another first. Of course, it isn't magic that has changed her. And in my book, everyone lives happily ever after, as far as is possible in this mortal world. Now, I recommended this story to my friend and her daughter. Number one, hopefully so it would repair any damage done by the first version she'd heard at school. Secondly, to redeem a beloved story of mine for another generation. But I tell it to you today because we too need changes and solutions that are not magic or hysterical reaction or anti-intellectual compulsion, but changes and solutions that come from the burning presence of our still-speaking God. You see, I truly believe that that burning presence of the Holy is what is needed in order to meet the challenges of church today. And there is no greater challenge than what our conference minister names as living our change. Our generation is facing unprecedented cultural changes. And in that context, I am asking the question, in a changing world, how do we pass on Christian faith to a new generation where many, and I read in a report the other day, where most young adults have heard a version of the Christian story that they don't buy? And I submit that we can repair that damage and redeem our story by walking the road of Emmaus, committing ourselves to faithfully walk and talk with each other, inviting these young strangers into the conversations, telling them our faith stories, including our doubts and disappointments, and listening to their thoughts and their ideas with an understanding that their hearts may not be the only ones in need of change, offering them hospitality at an open table, and then just waiting to see if God doesn't show up, because it wouldn't be the first time. And I have no doubt that we can all meet these challenges if, as the author of 1 Peter says, we have genuine mutual love and love one another deeply from the heart. Hearts on fire with the still burning presence in which we have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God that is in Christ Jesus. the church will live on. Listen, I'm just a Nana minister. And before I was a Nana minister, I was just a Mama minister. Honored by the grace of God to help raise churched children. My own and more than a few other people's. And now many of those children that I helped raise are parents. And young parents need the church to help raise up yet another generation. So here is my vision. Not just for California UCC and Salem UCC, or even for our association or our conference or our wonderful denomination or for the Church Universal. Here is my vision. That we set our children's feet beside our own and walk with them on this journey toward Emmaus, where we might all be lit on fire in a good way by the still burning presence of God. Amen. Rejoice in the mothering and fathering love of God. Rejoice in the victorious life of our risen Savior. Rejoice in the power of the Spirit. Go living in the love of Christ. Go serving in the name of Christ. Let your love of God embrace your children, your family, your enemies, those who are afar off, and those who are strangers you meet on the road. May your lives praise the Lord. Amen and amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.